Gotta be a flash. Boom. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Do we have any announcements or praise reports or prayer requests? Okay. When you find your place at Hebrews, keep your finger there and go to 1 John 1:7 and I want to show you the difference between freedom and control. And pastors have used this to control people, keep people on their knees, keep people begging for forgiveness, keep people defeated. Basically, keep people coming to them. 1 John chapter 1. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what happens if people are asking God to forgive them every time they do something wrong? What happens when people are continuously on their knees asking God to forgive them? I believe God forgives them. But if they would just listen to him, they'd say, I did that 2,000 years ago. I did that 2,000 years ago. But what happens is people end up with a sin conscience instead of a righteousness conscience. See, the Holy Spirit, he spends his time convincing us that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we could look at that verse in 1 John 1:7. Says, if we walk in the light, what happens when you get born again? You start walking in the light. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's for us. We have a waterfall of forgiveness. Our sins have been taken care of. Now, we make a mistake. What happens? A great percentage of the pastors are going to tell you, you go ask God to forgive you. How about this? When you make a mistake, I didn't say if, I said when. When, let's be honest with ourselves. When we make a mistake, what would be wrong with going to God and saying, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that has taken care of this. I thank you that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I thank you that I've been forgiven of this. What would be wrong with that? And if you just have to, sometimes things keep happening. If you just have to, you can ask him, say, you know, you say, Father, this thing really, really bugs me, and I don't want to do this anymore. I ask you in the name of Jesus to help me stop this. Give me the grace. You have given me the grace. You've given me the righteousness to defeat this. Help me to knock this off. Amen? See, people get taught things out of a good heart, but they get taught wrong, and it causes a lot of frustration. In 1 John chapter 1, when he started there, he was talking to Gnostics. And he was telling them, you know, you look at John, whenever he was talking to somebody in the church, he would say, my beloved, he'd always address some people that he loved. That was the church. That was the born again people. But all of a sudden, here in this first chapter of John, he starts talking about that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. He's witnessing to somebody else. He's not witnessing to born-again believers. He's telling these people about Jesus. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship, that you can have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, now he's talking about us. He's telling them about us. Verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There's people that say that. I've ran into people that said they have never broken a commandment. Serious. These are some people that got into law keeping, they said they've never broken a commandment. You know, there's some law keepers around. There's some people that are playing with the law, running around. And here's the question you got to ask them. I said, okay, so what happens when you make a mistake? What do you do? Because according to the Bible, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So according to the law, when you make a mistake, you have to have some kind of a sacrifice on the altar, and this burnt sacrifice has to go up to God. Whether it be a grain offering, a pigeon offering, you know, they had bird offerings, they had grain offerings, they had all kinds of different offerings, animal sacrifices, but there was always some kind of an offering to take care of the sin. So when you sin, how do you take care of that? Jesus was the final sacrifice. And, you know, he gave them a little bit of time. He gave them a little bit of time to get it together. He gave them, I think there was like 70 years. When Jesus was here, he said, I am the Lamb. He was the final sacrifice, and after he went back, they had 70 years. At the end of that 70 years, the temple got destroyed. Now, Hebrews chapter 8, now that we got that down, that's a fun rabbit hole to chase. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith the new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. See, that old covenant went away. Jesus is the final sacrifice. There is no other sacrifice available to man for the atonement of sin. None. Only Jesus, only the blood of Jesus can take care of sin. The blood of goats, the blood of bulls, nothing else can take care of sin. Only Jesus, the blood, the shed blood of Jesus can take care of your sins. And here's another one. Water will not wash away your sins. Asking God to forgive you is not what took care of your sins. The blood of Jesus It is not your effort. It is the blood of Jesus. It's believing on Him. It's believing on the blood of Jesus. It's believing on the name of Jesus for your salvation. That's what takes care of you. Amen? Now, just to see how much confusion there is in the church world, I was in a Word of Faith church, and they were going to baptize some people, and this guy's standing in the water, and this preacher runs up there, and he says, "This is for the remission of your sins." And he baptized him. I thought, what? I said, oh my gosh. I'm not even going to go there. I thought, you can go. Like, water is not going to wash away your sin. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Being baptized is an important step. It's our identification with Christ Jesus and shows how we go into that grave and come back separated from our enemies. Now, the thing about grace is people get this confused, but they shouldn't. Grace will not encourage people to sin. See, there's some people that get real twitchy when you start talking about grace. They say, "Oh, you got to be careful with grace." So that'll give people a license to sin. No, grace is not a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin. My pastor used to tell me to take advantage of grace. Take advantage of grace. You know you're saved by grace? You are saved by grace. So when you make a mistake, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen? That's grace. That's grace. You're not going to get in trouble. Now, here's the thing. People take that and they run wild with it. They say, "Well, I'm saved by grace. I can do anything I want." No, you can't. No, you can't. So there are things in this world that will take you out. It's not God taking you out. It's not God punishing you. Sin has a price. You know, I've tried to tell people, say, you can't just go drinking and running wild and doing crazy stuff because you're saved by grace. That's not the way this works. You get out into no man's land. You know, you get out there into a position where you open yourself up to the devil. Well, what we're saying is when you make a mistake and you're staying close to Jesus, you're not trying to do that on purpose. You're not trying to just live in what they call sloppy grace. That's terrible. That's a terrible thing that people have come up with. But grace will help you conquer sin. And see, grace will keep people encouraged. People will find encouragement under grace. But here's the thing. People give up when they're under the law. Look at Luke chapter 7, verse 44. Luke chapter 7, verse 44 says, "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. They gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." See, the reason some people don't love much is that they don't understand how much they have been forgiven. See, there's some people, you know, there's some of us that lived on the edge of the fiery pit for a lot of our lives, and we knew, you know, the next step we'd be in hell. And we even had some preachers tell us that that's what it was going to be. And when we finally find a way out, it's like, thank God. You know, when we find out that God is not holding our sins against us, He's not holding our past iniquities against us, He's not holding that over our head, that the blood of Jesus has completely washed away our sins, what a relief. What a relief. I will tell you something about the law, because I've ran into a lot of people that have been associated with a lot of performance-based churches, a lot of performance-based theology, a lot of obedience. You know, you got to do this, you got to do that, you have to, you know, and all this. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with obedience, because obedience to God is great, and you should do that. But here's the thing. Some of these people tie salvation to this obedience. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. So then people get to living their lives in fear of the curse. You know, they get afraid that if they don't do this right, or if they don't do this right, that this curse could come on them. You know, but Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 tells us that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I try to tell people, if you're afraid of the curse coming on you, then you need to stop and reconsider what you're doing. Because basically what you're doing is you're trying to live your good works in such a way that you can gain your righteousness before God. It didn't work for the Jewish people. It's not going to work for you. We can only receive the gift of righteousness. Now, because you are the righteousness of God, go do these good things. But don't go doing those good things trying to be the righteousness of God. Amen? You are the righteousness of God, so now you can go do them good things. Amen? You've been ordained unto good works under Christ Jesus. Amen? You're not earning your righteousness. You can't earn your righteousness. You can only receive it. Walk in it. Walk in that liberty. Stand fast in that liberty. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. I didn't really understand what I was dealing with when I first got born again, because I ran into people that said these, you know, because I knew I was saved by grace. I was born again. But then I'd run into these people, said, now here's these things that you had to do. Said, you can't possibly. I had one guy tell me, you can't possibly be a Christian without being a Mason. And he's a preacher. How did he come up with that idea? See, there's always, people take scripture out of context. And it's tearing up this world right now. What's going on in Israel and people taking scripture out of context is really causing a lot of damage. Because I run into people all the time saying that God will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. Say, no, that is not what the Bible says. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, God was talking to Abraham specifically. And then in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, it says, if you be Christ, which when you get born again, you are Christ. You're in Him. You belong to Him. That means you're the seed of Abraham according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. He's talking more to you in that verse than he was about Jacob or Israel. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Did you notice right there? These Pharisees were quizzing Jesus on the law. Now, Jesus had to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus had to preach the law. Did you know that? He had to preach the law, which is what he was doing to the Pharisees right here. He was reminding them in verse 21, says, You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. They could manage to not kill somebody. Jesus raised the bar. He went on to say, But I say to you, Jesus, he said, I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. You know, I've even seen people take that scripture out of context and twist it and put themselves through torment for no reason at all. I mean, not that they should be keeping the law, but if you're going to keep the law, then keep it right. I remember one time I seen a lady, she got a speeding ticket. And we were driving down the road, and she was tearing herself up. I'm not going to be mad at this highway patrolman. I am not going to be mad at this highway patrolman. Well, that's not what the Bible said. There's nowhere in the Bible does it tell you not to be angry. It said, be angry and sin not. See, that's where we run into the problem. We get angry, but if you take that next step, that's where the trouble ensues. Well, remember, our fight is not with flesh and blood. So you could be angry and get away from the situation you're in and go take it out on the devil. You know what? Half people store this anger up inside of themselves. They're not going to be mad. They're not going to be angry. They're going to be nice little saints. And then, you know, they just keep doing that, and it keeps building up, and it keeps building up. Then all of a sudden, you see these guys, you know, all of a sudden, they just die. And people say, this guy went to church all the time. He was a nice guy. I never seen him get mad at anything. Yeah, I know. It built up inside of him until he died. You know, you can vent. Did you know that? You can vent. Verse 27 says, You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, they said, See, these guys had this law. They had it down at such a low degree that they thought they could keep it. So, you know, okay, we won't commit adultery. So they weren't sleeping around, but Jesus raised the bar. He said, But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, here's the dangerous thing about that. I heard this on national TV from politicians that I've committed adultery. I looked at a woman with lust. And people just jumped on them. There ain't a man on the face of this earth that hasn't been through that. But here's the thing. If you're keeping the law, you got to keep it all, because if you break one part of it, you're guilty of breaking all of it. But you're not under the law. Now, the thing about grace and the blood of Jesus, it'll help you get blinkers on you. You know, we put blinkers on racehorses to keep them going straight. So they're not looking around. But we need to have blinkers on us. And that's what the grace of God and the blood of Jesus will do for us. It'll keep us walking straight. Just know that when you make a mistake, you have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus, your high priest. And he is already there making intercession for you. He's already shed his blood for you to take care of that. You are saved by grace. Period. Amen. Now, the secret to godliness is not in exhibiting Christian character and self-control and brotherly kindness. Now, people try to do that. They try to do that. But that's not the secret to godliness. The secret to godliness, we'll find that in 2 Peter chapter 1. See, people are always trying to do something that God has already done in them, and it never works. It leads them to frustration. It'll lead them to failure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For these things be in you and abound. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. In verse 8, it says, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus tell us to take his yoke upon us and learn of him? All these things, all the fruits of the Spirit, all these things that he just talked about in these last few verses are going to come about from abiding in the vine. You're not going to be able to produce none of that by yourself. You're not going to be able to pray for any of it to develop. The only thing you can do is stay hooked to the vine, learn of Jesus, and then guess what? All of a sudden, these things, these kindness things, these patience things, these love things, temperance things, these long-suffering things, these fruits, you just find them, they'll start growing on you. You'll just start seeing them. And then you'll walk away and you'll wonder, why in the world did I have patience with that guy? Why in the world did I actually have kindness towards somebody that's not like me? Not in my circle. See how things change? But it's through him. It's going to always be the knowledge of him. Abiding in the vine. See? It's going to be understanding forgiveness. We don't confess our sins in order to be forgiven. We confess because we are already forgiven. We're forgiven. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're in right standing with him. There's no amount of good works that you could do to get yourself into right standing with him. Like, here's fresh off the press revelation that a lot of people need to understand. You're not going to do something bad enough to get yourself to be out of right standing with him. Now, there's some people that have renounced Christ. They've renounced the blood of Jesus and went through a whole list of things. But you're not going to do that. You know, there are some people that have actually gotten on national television and said, Jesus is not the Son of God. They said the blood of Jesus is not good for yourself. They've done all kinds of crazy things. That will get you out of there. But I'm pretty sure none of you are going to be dumb enough to do something like that. At least I'm not even going to even attempt to go down that path. I'm going to thank God for the grace that he gives me every day. And his grace and mercy is renewed every day. We have a fresh outpouring of his grace and mercy in the blood of Jesus. We thank you for this in every way. Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus does for us. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for blessing us. Father, we thank you for protecting us, saving us daily. You do redeem our lives from destruction. You crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies, and we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.